Welcome to Smart Habits for Translators, a podcast for translators by translators, bringing you simple strategies to build better habits. In each episode, we'll focus on specific habits for translators in various stages of their careers. If you're a translator who enjoys learning about habits to improve your business and lifestyle, then this is the podcast for you. We're your hosts, Madalena Sanchez-Zampalo
and Veronica De Michelis. Like you, we are professional freelance translators trying to balance the challenges that come with building a career and maintaining clarity and boundaries between work and personal life. We hope you'll join us in this conversation about smart habits and discover some simple strategies you can apply today to help you build your career and achieve the lifestyle you desire.
Welcome to Smart Habits for Translators. This is episode 71. And by the way, we just celebrated our third podcast anniversary.
Yay!
Yay! We're so grateful to all of our colleagues and friends who listen and support the podcast. Your enthusiasm for the podcast is what keeps us going, creating new content and sharing more smart habits. And this week, we're recording a week after our quarterly virtual business retreat. And we wanted to thank all of our colleagues who participated in that as well. We've been doing these quarterly business retreats for over a year now, and I think it was our best one yet. We had great conversations and a guest speaker who everybody enjoyed, and our guest speaker this time was our colleague Susie Jackson, who kicked off our virtual business retreat with a short presentation on pricing and negotiating with clients with confidence. And I think this helped set the tone for several of the discussions that followed.
Yeah, this was such a fun business retreat, and I agree, it felt like our best one yet. It's never easy to find uninterrupted time to sit down and review how various areas of your business are going and what you would like to focus on. And I feel like these virtual business retreats are an opportunity to commit to that uninterrupted time and identify areas of improvement and also commit to specific actions you will take to achieve your goals, not to mention the perk of brainstorming with colleagues. This last part is invaluable, and I always enjoy seeing the connections and synergies that our retreat participants find during these sessions. Now, I'm really excited about our next retreat, which will be on December 14th. We will have a guest speaker again to kick things off, and then we'll focus on discussing our business goals for the first quarter of next year, 2023. So if you'd like to join us, you can sign up at smarthabitsfortranslators.com/retreat. That's smarthabitsfortranslators.com, R-E-T-R-E-A-T.
Awesome. Yeah, I can't wait to see everybody who comes to the next retreat. We do have some regulars who come to all of them, which is really cool. Yeah.
So good to see them.
Yeah. Okay, and now back to today's episode, which is about smart habits for attending a conference after what's been 2 years of having very few in-person events to attend. And we've already recorded 3 episodes about smart conference habits in the past, and those are among some of our most popular episodes. So if you haven't listened to those yet, we recommend that you check them out. Just look for episode 3, Conference Habits, episode 26, Smart Habits for Attending Online Conferences, and episode 51, Tips and Tricks for Attending Hybrid Conferences, a surprise joint episode with Speaking of Translation. We recorded the last 2 episodes to respond to the changes in the conference landscape due to the pandemic, and since the situation is different now, more and more people are attending in-person conferences again, we figured it was probably time to discuss what you might want to take into account when you're attending your next in-person conference. Of course, we still think that much of the advice we shared in episode 3 and 26 is still relevant, so we won't repeat that. But instead, we're going to share what we think has changed and some new factors to consider when attending conferences these days. So, interestingly, I think something that has probably changed is I think people are more enthusiastic than ever to get back to in-person conferences.
Yeah
right? Mm-hmm. And I also think people are a bit nervous about it at the same time, and rightly so. I mean, you know, we translators, interpreters, we're used to working behind the scenes. Many of us are used to working in our home offices for the majority of the time, not seeing other people a whole lot. So when we don't get to go to our regular annual conferences for what's been, 2 years or so for many people, it can be a little strange to go back in person at first. You kind of don't quite know what social cues are acceptable anymore in some ways, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I attended a few conferences so far, you know, in the past, well, probably about a year, year and a half. Starting with last fall, the American Translators Association, we held a hybrid conference. And that was, you know, probably soon after what the Delta variant, I can't remember which variant now, of COVID-19. And it was pretty well attended considering it was a hybrid conference. I thought, you know, there were at least 400 people there in person. And then I attended another conference in March, which was the ACES Society for Editing Conference. And that was in San Antonio. And that was in the height of Omicron. Mm-hmm. But I felt very safe, honestly, at both of those. I really did. Both, you know, conferences took precautions at the time that were appropriate for that time. And also, you could just tell people were so happy to be back in person. So, mm-hmm. And then the last one that I just attended recently, a couple of weeks ago, at the time we're recording this, is the Association of Language Companies Conference, and that was in Las Vegas. And that's a smaller conference in general than the other two. But, you know, again, felt very safe. I felt like it was really nice to see people in person. It felt like a regular conference again. And I was so happy to see that. And I don't know if I would say that a lot has changed from pre-pandemic conferences, the way that conferences feel now, maybe, except to say that people are a little bit more cautious about not wanting to get sick. But, you know, rightly so. Who wants to get sick? But in general, I think the sessions were super good. They were excellent. And it really just made me happy to be back at an in-person conference where I was like, yes, this is, you know, what we've all been waiting for. What about you?
Yeah. Well, my last in-person conference was last year. It was the ATA conference, which was hybrid, mm-hmm. but I attended the in-person part of it. And I haven't attended any in-person conferences yet this year. We both were supposed to go to the ITI conference in person. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was hybrid as well, but we were planning to go in person, but couldn't, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So we participated virtually. So I'm really, 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 really excited to go to Los Angeles for the ATA conference. And see everyone in person again. I think, just like you said, people are just very excited to see each other again, to meet colleagues, to have certain events they're used to having in person. It's just been too long mm-hmm. with the kind of state we've lived in for the past few years, and to the point that, you know, many people, myself included, kind of struggle correctly saying how many years it's been now.
Like, I know.
It feels like a long, long year.
Yeah.
And I think that the change I'm seeing is that it's really important when you are planning to attend a conference, and we'll mention it among many other tips today, I think, is to find out exactly the format of the conference you're planning to attend, because it's changing. I've seen a change compared to earlier this year and even last year, because streaming and recording all the sessions or many sessions is just very expensive. So many conferences are just virtual, live only, and there are no recordings, or the recordings are available for a very limited time. So I've seen that change, and also the conferences that are only virtual, I see that they are really tightening and making their selection of sessions very attractive, because there's just an abundance of online only offerings. So attendees are more selective, I think, also because of the financial situation for many people, which we'll get into too. Let's start talking about things that we think are worth taking into account when planning your conference attendance. And let's start with the financial situation. Mm-hmm. The past few years have been difficult for many because of, you know, macro and micro factors affecting the world and our profession and various countries and markets. But it's really important to see if you have been able to put money aside for continuing professional development, conferences included. How does your CPD budget look like? And if you don't have one yet, you should definitely start putting money aside for courses, webinars, and conferences, taking into account your goals and what's important for your business. That brings me to the next point, which I think is you just really need to tune in and check check in with yourself and the state of your business. How are things going? What are you happy with? What are you not quite happy with and would like to see change, and in what direction? How does the outside world affect your business? Are there some factors in your control, and what factors are outside of your control, and how can you change things so that you can do better with your financial goals, and also how you want your business to go? If there are any services that you would like to start offering, do you need to learn new skills or get better at certain skills? What are your priorities when it comes to your business? And how can the conference you're considering help you achieve your goals that you have set? And also, I think personal factors are still very important. Many people who, worked in office settings before are still working either fully remotely or kind of work on this mixed schedule where they maybe work some days at the office and some remotely. And so if your family member who you rely on, say, for helping out with child rearing responsibilities or taking care of other family members, if that's a factor for you when it comes to planning to attend a conference, that's something you should take into account. That's the case for me. My husband works part-time from home and part-time at the office. And so if I am planning to travel to a conference or a meeting or any other reason, or I need uninterrupted time to attend a conference or deliver a project, then I need to check how my family's schedule is looking and how this all falls into place. And I think, as we talked before too, what is the health and safety situation if you are traveling to a conference or attending an in-person conference versus your risk tolerance, how you feel about that. And we all have different opinions on different risk tolerance, I think. I know I had COVID this summer and it was really bad. So I really don't want to ever experience it again, or even think that, any of my friends or family or colleagues have it. And I know for many, it has lasting effects, such as brain fog and many other symptoms. Mm-hmm. And for interpreters in particular, I think too, I've heard it from many colleagues who interpret, the fact that it can affect their voice and their hearing and just overall feeling crummy, that can also affect your business. So I completely understand that that many people are still very, very cautious. So I think that's an important factor when you're evaluating which conferences to pick and what format works best for you.
Yeah, I agree. And I think too, there are always going to be things that are outside of our control, but even leading up to a conference, I try to be extremely careful about not, being around big groups of people, especially now, with the pandemic in our sites, mm-hmm. or at least near sites. I know it's not considered a pandemic anymore. It's considered endemic, but I don't want to be sick with anything, So mm-hmm. I'm just basically try to be careful and do what I can leading up to it, yeah. to try to be as healthy as possible, hoping other people will do the same. And also when I'm in person with people, if I feel like I'm in a very crowded situation, I just try to remove myself a little bit from that. And,
yeah.
You just do whatever works best for you, I think. So I guess putting this, the health concerns aside for a moment, thinking also, I think what's important is to think about what the format of the conference is going to be. Is it going to be in person only? Is it going to be hybrid? There are still some hybrid events out there. Is it going to be virtual only? And how does this actually fit your needs and preferences for your business? So something that I've thought about is, if it's an in-person conference, it's going to cost more money, right, to attend. So yeah. In general, I try to, and you were speaking about a budget earlier, I try to budget my time and my money for those in-person conferences that I really, really am excited about and want to be at and know that they're important for me. Whereas the virtual ones, I feel like they're so easy to sign up for. You usually get recordings afterwards. Those are the ones I'm willing to spend on, but obviously not to the extent of the in-person ones. So if something is hybrid, of course, I'd prefer to be there in person if possible. But if it's just not, financially feasible or time, it's not, working with the timing of my schedule, then I would do something like hybrid. And so the format, I think about also with the content. If it's both the content that I like you said, need for maybe the upcoming year for my business versus just content that's just nice to know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and then something else to think about is finding out what the conference procedures are going to be. You know, dipping back now into health a little bit, but it's also safety. You know, the two of us having organized conferences, we know that every conference should have health and safety plans in place.
Yeah.
And that is something that's very important to event organizers. So you can find out what those are. You just simply have to ask or look for it usually on the conference website.
Yeah.
And so thinking about health and safety, what do you need to do to attend a conference wherever you're going? Is it in a specific place where you might need to have, you know, certain vaccinations? Say it's in another country, do you need certain vaccinations for that country? Mm-hmm. Do you need to bring proof of vaccination, for example, of COVID-19 vaccination? Are you going to be tested? In fact, the last one I just went to, they did require a test on the first day at registration.
Yeah.
So, you know, kind of look into that and see what's required. And usually people who are organizing will send reminders, but, you know, you might as well know it when you sign up, mm-hmm. right? That's the important thing to remember is, you know, what do you have to do? And also, I think it's good to make a list of sessions that you want to attend. So we've talked about this before in previous episodes, but, you know, looking at the actual schedule and seeing there's almost always something that's going to overlap. So you could say, okay, well, I want to see both of these, but they're at the same time. Okay, so which one is more important for me?
Yeah.
And go to that one. And if it turns out that it's not what you thought, well, you do have a backup, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So there's always a little bit of playing with the schedule and logistics of these things. But what's the format? Are some of them going to be streamed or recorded? If so, well, then you could probably catch one later, you know?
Yeah.
But this isn't always the case anymore. So once you decide on your sessions, add them to your calendar. This is something I used to not do,
mm-hmm.
and I would wait. I mean, I would add them probably to the calendar, or the conference calendar, but not my calendar that I use for work. And now I've been adding them to my own calendar, and it makes a big difference
mm-hmm.
because I'm used to using my calendar.
Yeah.
I'm not so used to using a different app that's new, that's only for this 3-day event or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I do refer to like conference apps and conference schedules, of course. But it's not the first thing that comes to my mind usually. So it's one of those things that you always feel like, I don't know about you, but you feel like you're fumbling through it. Like,
yeah.
Where is this information? I know I saw it, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so I've tried to, you know, sync it to my own calendar in some way or just go ahead and put it in ahead of time. And this year, I don't know what happened last year. I think it was the first conference we'd had in a couple of years. But last year, I didn't put the meetings on my own calendar that I had at the ATA conference. And, you know, we have like 4 days of meetings straight almost.
Yeah.
So this year, last week, I sat down and I put everything in my calendar. And when I saw it all in there, I was like sort of relieved because it was now there, but also overwhelmed because it's just so much.
Yeah.
So it was very interesting. But it's helpful for me at least to put it on my calendar versus just the conference one.
Yeah, I completely agree. And yeah, I actually did the same thing last week. I sat down and put all the meetings on the calendar. So I know what's coming. Yeah. And it's actually a good thing you mentioned the conference app. That's another tip I think we should share.
Mm-hmm.
Find out if the conference you're attending has a conference app or a conference website where you will find the most up-to-date information. Sometimes there are last-minute changes, speakers can't come, and sessions are replaced or canceled. And, you know, it's often online where this information is the most up-to-date. But I'm the same way as you. I'm so used to reminders and appointments pop up on my phone through my work calendar. I add the sessions, and I put my preferred session and like a backup session, so I know where I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
If my original pick isn't quite what I thought it was. I think another thing that's important to check are the networking events. If there are going to be any networking events at the conference you're planning to attend, what are they? What is the purpose? What is their format? To see if that might be the right fit for you. You may have attended this conference in the past, but the events may have changed now. Sometimes the conference organizer decides to switch them up or add new events or kind of reinvent events that were held in the past. So see what they are for the conference you're planning to attend and find out what's different so you can plan ahead and plan your time appropriately, because mm-hmm. that can also be overwhelming when you have lots of events. And again, add them to your calendar. I do that too with the networking events at the conferences I attend, especially the ATA conference. Because if I were to pick where to go next in the moment, I know I tend to be very distracted. There's so many things going on, people around you, people maybe you're talking mm-hmm. to, and then someone's like, where are you going next? And you're like, oh, let me see. So it's much.
Yes. And yeah. I've missed sessions that way.
Yeah.
Because I realized it, I thought it was at one time and it was
right.
the previous time.
Yeah. Yep. That happened to me 1 year too. Mm-hmm. And talking of people, make appointments with the people you want to meet. Check if they're attending in person or if the event is hybrid. Agree to meet with them virtually through Zoom or through another platform, or maybe there's one through the conference website mm-hmm. or app. And if you are meeting them in person, also tactfully find out their risk tolerance and what they're comfortable doing. Some people prefer to meet outdoors. Some are fine meeting indoors. So make sure you're on the same page and you know what's the plan. I think we're still not quite where we can just wing it, or at least not in these circumstances. I feel like you need to plan ahead. And especially at the in-person conference too, if there is a break, a lunch break or a coffee break, and you're hoping to just wing it and see, where you're going to head with a person you're meeting, restaurants or cafes nearby might be full of people or they may not be well staffed. Mm-hmm. So it's best to either make a reservation or order takeout or, make plans in advance is what I'm trying to say.
It's true, isn't it? Like, you never want to be rushing back to something else and not get to talk to the person you were
exactly.
trying to talk to.
Yeah.
It's a good tip.
And I sometimes even either call ahead if I'm booking a table at a restaurant, or ask the waiter mm-hmm. right when we sit down, like, how long does it usually take to get the food out, and just tell them how long we have in terms of the lunch break. So that we're not rushed and we order something that's, a reasonable wait and not something you're going to wait for a long time.
Right.
And then marketing materials is another important thing to remember if you're heading to an in-person conference this year, especially if you haven't attended in-person conferences for a while. You may need to prepare them or update them. Maybe your contact information has changed. Maybe you got a new mm-hmm. email address or phone number or a website. Maybe you want to highlight a new service you're offering. So check the marketing materials you've used before, flag the things that need to be updated, and make sure your marketing materials look the way you want them to look, and also help you put your best foot forward and make a good impression, or the impression you're hoping to make.
Yeah, isn't that funny? Like, it's true. I've talked to several people who've added either a new specialization or they're doing something additional now that they're offering a new service. And, those are the things you want to highlight, especially mm-hmm. Certain things that are really, hot right now, like localization in different areas, especially like video games or, educational interpreting or, mm-hmm. I don't know. There's so many audiovisual offerings. Right. So, isn't it? It's one of those things you feel like, oh, the conference is coming. And then by the time you realize you need to update something for marketing, you got to make sure you can get it printed on time if you need it printed. Yeah. Sometimes those things take a little bit longer than we think, especially at mm-hmm. least in the US with the way the mail system works. It can take longer. So give yourself more lead time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know firsthand too, that sometimes you're like, well, I still have a ton of business cards mm-hmm. that I didn't use last time, or, my resume is fine. But really, like, look at it again, because you might spot things that, mm-hmm. As I mentioned, maybe there's a new service that's in demand right now that you are offering, and that's the one you want to highlight.
Yeah.
And you don't necessarily have to print hundreds of copies. You may just get away with printing, say, 50 or, mm-hmm. A number that you can reasonably hand out and also follow up then electronically with the people later on.
Yeah. And also, I think, it's worth talking about, not only updating your marketing materials, but putting them aside so that you don't forget them, because I've done that before. Mm-hmm. So now every time I go to a conference or like a meeting that's out of town or something, I have a small pile in my office of everything I need to take with me that is like that. And it's just, I keep adding to it as the weeks go by. Because I, you know, I'm thinking, okay, I don't need to update my business cards. But then, do I know where they are anymore? Seriously. I mean, it sounds silly, but it's true. And I remember one time I like almost upended my whole office to find my business cards, which sounds ridiculous. But I knew I had them. And then, yeah, don't put yourself in that position. Sounds like an easy enough thing, right? But a lot of us leave that to the last minute, so.
Yeah.
And I would say maybe one more thing to mention is to have an idea ahead of time of how you're going to follow up with people after the conference, both colleagues, you know, potential clients, vendors, anybody. And we have some really good tips on that, especially the ones that you shared, I remember, Veronica, in I think it was probably episode 3, I want to say, where you have a whole system about following up with people and like getting back to your room and remembering who people were. And I thought that's a good plan to think about ahead of time.
Yeah. Yeah. And that can be overwhelming in the moment when you've just met a person or you met a whole bunch of people. And so I like to do it the evening of every day, you know, just looking at the cards of the people I've met and then making a little note on them to remind myself, you know, or, I think in episode 3, you're referring to, I was sharing my system with a sheet of paper and like tape. and that can work too. Whatever works best for you to remember, you know, certain reference points that you can share or use in your follow-up. And I think another thing that's easy to forget about or underestimate how important it is to let your clients know that you're about to leave and not be available if you are not planning to work during the conference, which I think is recommended since you're shelling out all that money to be at the conference. Plan to not work and actually devote your time, uninterrupted time, to growing and developing professionally. And I've been doing that now ahead of the ATA conference, you know, putting it in my email signature, letting clients know that I work with regularly, that I'm going to be away. And that can result in more work for you leading up to the conference, because people go, oh yeah, we actually do have something in the works. Let us, you know, get it to you earlier so you can be done with it before you leave. So that's an important thing to do. Okay, I think that wraps up this topic for today's episode. We could talk much for a long time about it, I'm sure. We love the topic of smart habits for attending conferences, and we hope that you will share yours with us too. So what do you take into account when attending conferences these days? What smart habits help you make attending conferences a good time and a financial investment for your business? So send us an email at hello@smarthabitsfortranslators.com or tag us on social media. We're on Twitter and LinkedIn, and you'll find the links to our profiles in the show notes for this episode. And now let's share some of our latest reads for our favorite segment, the Book Nook. So what are you reading or what have you read recently, Madalena?
Yeah, I've missed this segment, honestly. Yeah, I've been reading a good bit lately. I've also picked up a lot of books lately that I've also put down that weren't very good. So I was really thrilled when you actually gave me this book the last time I saw you. It's so good. It's called The Lies I Tell by Julie Clark. Yeah. And I'm not even going to try to explain it because it's a bit complex. So I'll just read the brief description that Amazon gives. So, two women, many aliases. Meg Williams, Maggie Littleton, Melody Wilde. Different names for the same person depending on the town, depending on the job. She's a con artist who erases herself to become whoever you need her to be. A college student, a life coach, a real estate agent. Nothing about her is real. She slides alongside you and tells you exactly what you need to hear. And by the time she's done, you've likely lost everything. That's really good, right? And then the other character is Kat Roberts. She's been waiting 10 years for the woman who upended her life to return. And now that she has, Kat is determined to be the one to expose her. But as the two women grow closer, Kat's long-held assumptions begin to crumble, leaving Kat to wonder who Meg's true target is. This book is so good. Honestly, like, I am recommending it to everybody. It was a Book of the Month Club pick that you picked, I think, a few months ago. And it's just really well done. This is the same author who wrote the book, The Last Flight.
Yeah, I'm so glad you liked it. I really enjoyed it too. I read it in France this summer, and I remember thinking, wow, it's like just such a great read. I really, I read it so quickly. And it's also cool that it takes place in LA. So it was really like timely before the conference.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, what about you?
So I read a really cool book this summer too that I've just really, really enjoyed. It's by Helena Torsten, which is the Swedish author. And we read her book in Yves Badeau's book club early on when the book club started. So this newer one that I got is called An Elderly Lady Must Not Be Crossed. And it's in the same series about the elderly lady that is a killer, actually. But it's like not, you know, it's an interesting style of this author when it comes to this series because it's dark. But there's also some humor and some lightness to it, and also some. It's very deep. I really, really enjoyed this. I probably enjoyed this one more than the first one I read. It's very short. I read it in one day, I think. And there's some travel involved there, some reflection and thoughts about what happened in the life of this old lady and how it affected her. So I think that kind of gave me a better understanding of her as a person and her motives and how she is around people. So it was a really good book that I would recommend.
Awesome. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, that's it for today. Later this week, our email subscribers will get a summary of this episode with all the links to the resources we mentioned today. Our newsletter subscribers are always the first ones to hear about upcoming episodes and guests, so don't miss out. If you're not receiving our emails yet, please sign up on our website, smarthabitsfortranslators.com.
And if you liked this episode, we'd be grateful if you would share it with colleagues. It's another great way to support our podcast, and we truly appreciate it. Please also consider leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Leaving a review only takes a minute, and reviews help other translators and interpreters find the podcast. So if you're not sure how to leave a review, we've recorded a quick video tutorial to show you how to do it, and you can find that in our show notes.
Talk to you soon.
We hope you enjoyed this episode and discovered some simple strategies that you can apply today at work or at home to help you achieve the lifestyle you desire. If you did, please let us know. We'd love to hear from you.
If you have a topic you want us to cover, please send us a message at hello@smarthabitsfortranslators.com. If you like this episode, we'd appreciate if you'd leave us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. And please share the podcast with other translators you know.